Tonight we want to turn to the book of Titus, if you have your Bibles. A brand new book as we continue our study through the Bible. You know, there's nothing more that I love than to study the Bible, especially book by book, chapter by chapter. And as I teach you, I'm teaching myself because not only do I teach it here, but when I go home sometimes in the evenings, I like to go through the Bible and just read it and study it and just meditate upon what God says in His Word so that I can grow and develop into that kind of person that God would want us to be, and hungering and thirsting for His righteousness. And as you get older, it's a real blessing reading the epistles of Paul. They're just letters. Paul had such an influence in so many people, but he had two young men that he put his time into, Titus, a Gentile, and Timothy, a Jew. He really called them his sons in the faith. His sons in the faith. My heart desire, the remaining days of my life, is to train young men and young women for the ministry. Because I really believe that the future of the church has to be in training and really having people have a vision for the lost. And at the same time, as God begins to touch people's hearts, and as God begins to do the work that He did in the life of Timothy, in the life of Titus, imagine, here's a young man, he's actually a Gentile, and he comes to that place in his life where Titus, not only as a young minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he leaves on a trip to the island of Crete. Paul sends him there. Beautiful place in the Mediterranean, but a place where there was a lot of people that were living very loose lives. If you were to talk about the time where Paul was writing and sending, you know, this guy by the name of Titus to Crete, it would be like walking into Sodom and Gomorrah, as these people were party people. If you know Greek people, when you go to Greece, you can see it. Greek people are real partiers, just like the Italians and the South Americans, and there are people like that. They just love partying, love drinking, love staying up at night. They love prostitution. They love fornication. They love immorality. They just get off on it. And this is the island of Crete. It was full of immorality. And yet this young guy that Paul trusted, as he taught him the word of God and knew him for a long time, he went ahead and said, "Hey, Titus, how would you like to go to Crete? They need a pastor there. And I want you to go and set things in order." And of course, Titus said, "I will go." And Titus went to Crete. He went there and he had a challenging task for himself. He was to organize all the new converts in the local churches. Those that had come to faith in Jesus Christ, because there was a situation like in the other parts of Macedonia, where Paul had been, where there were these Judaizers, false teachers. They were saying that, you know what, the grace of God is not sufficient. You have to live by law and by works. And then this is the way you are saved, through works. And yet the Bible doesn't teach that. And so Paul had a very hard time in sending these young men to be able to teach that those that come to Jesus Christ in salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not of works. It's not by the law, but it's by the grace of God that we come to know His love and grace and mercy. In this letter, Paul shares with Titus some practical wisdom regarding church organization and the administration of the church leadership, and how leaders must be chosen by God, not selected by the church. But God has to choose them on the basis how they have to prove themselves and prove their character and conduct. The false teachers must not only be quickly detected and removed from the church. Paul wants them to do that because these false teachers were really bringing a black eye to the church, and they were really messing up a lot of the young converts, moving away from faith into works and Judaism and all these weird things that were actually false teachings in the doctrine that they had been taught. But because they were not rooted and grounded in God's word, they were getting pulled to the side. So Paul takes Titus, like Timothy, and he says, go to Crete and help me organize these new believers that have come to know Christ to make sure that you teach them and that you expose those false teachers that are trying to seduce these young believers away from Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle, in commissioning Titus, he also tells him when he goes to be with these young men that have come to know Christ, that he encourages them to live worthy lives, to be worthy of the gospel they proclaim to believe, you know, not to make sure that they're saying one thing, but they're living the opposite, you know, living a life of the flesh and then bringing a bad witness to the church. I think that's really good counsel that Paul gives to Titus. Titus, make sure there is holiness of life. Make sure these people have truly become born again of the Holy Spirit. And so here you have this young and old leader and laity that must demonstrate the reality of their faith by being a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Titus 3:8, Paul said, carefully to maintain good works. To maintain good works. And yet while Timothy was laboring in the metropolis of Ephesus, Titus was way down with his hands full on the island of Crete. Titus was a Greek believer who had served with Paul well on special assignments in the church of Corinth. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 13, 14, Paul says, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yes, and exceedingly and more joy we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I, Paul, have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Paul loved Titus. Paul loved the people in the church. Just like these ladies right now have come back from Central America and South America, and they have witnessed to us. That's what Paul is saying. In 2 Corinthians 8, 6, 16 and 23, Paul says, in so much that we desire Titus, that as he has begun, that so he would also finish in you in the same grace also. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you. You know, Titus couldn't go to Crete unless God had laid it on his heart. Because when you minister to people, you got to love people. You have to love the people in order to be able to minister to them. And Paul had been praying for Titus that God would touch his heart, and God did. In verse 23, he said, whether any do any inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ Jesus. The glory of Christ Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul said, I desire Titus, and with him I send a brother, that Titus make it again of you. Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? Hey, we are like-minded. Titus has my heart. Titus has my mind. He says, we're in unity. We're one. So you don't have to worry about Titus or Timothy. These are my disciples that I'm sending to you. You're in good hands as they're coming to teach you God's word. And yet apparently, Titus had been won to Christ through Paul's personal ministry, and so was Timothy too. Paul had ministered to them, and they had been ministered to by Paul. Titus, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8:23 in the NIV, he says, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. My fellow partner and worker in you. As I look at my ministry, I look at so many young men and so many men and women that have been part of this ministry. And the ministry that God's given to us all over Central and South America and all over the world. That's what's so amazing, traveling, meeting all these brothers and sisters, which many of them today watch through the internet, our services. This is their church. And it's so cool to be able to see how you minister to people that you don't even know that you're reaching by the teaching of the Word of God, speaking to their hearts just like Titus was by Paul the Apostle. The people in Crete were not the easiest to work with, very difficult people. And Titus became somewhat discouraged. You know, there are missionaries on the mission field, and even pastors here in America that are very discouraged with their congregations when the congregation doesn't participate in ministry. There are hundreds of churches tonight that are dying spiritually. Some of them are closing their doors. And it breaks the heart of the pastor, breaks the heart, you know, of the elders and the deacons and those that are in the ministry to be able to see apathy in so many churches. That's why I continue to exhort you and tell you, you got to be on fire for God. There's no other way. You just can't sit and listen to the Word of God and do nothing about, you know, your relationship with the Lord. Somehow, God has to touch your hearts. And as He touches your heart, and He ministers to you. And the greatest thing is when He touches your heart to go on a mission trip, you will never be the same. It will change your life completely and fully. If you have never been on a mission trip, I challenge you to go on a mission trip. It will blow your mind. It will totally change your whole life. It will give you the heart of God, and you will be actually seeing people through the different eyes of Jesus, the way Jesus sees people. That's what happened to Titus. That's what happened to young Timothy as a young man. And yet Titus was a strong person that Paul needed for Crete to correct the things that were actually wrong there, because there were these Judaizers. They were, you know, pushing people around, and they were very authoritative. And yet Paul trusted Timothy to be able to handle these men. Titus had his share of problems in his own personal life when he came to Crete, as he began to see the abuse and he began to see the false doctrines that were not only floating around in the church, but as he began to see at night when he would go out into the streets and he would see the prostitution and he would see people in immorality doing all kinds of weird things, pornography, everything was there. And it really broke his heart that all these people, man, were partiers without hope and without God, and yet God had brought him to Crete to stable the church there among the new believers. So they, in turn, could begin to preach the gospel and share their faith with these people that were lost, so they could come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as so many of us here. It happened to us as relatives or friends shared the gospel with us. At one time, the way we used to live our lives, you know, we could hardly wait till Friday nights and Saturday nights to party all night long. And then on the weekends, you know, just party, party, party. And then Monday morning, go back to work and looking every single night for a party, you know. But then when Christ changes your heart, there's a different world, there's a different heart. Things begin to change. Your actual life changes. Your priorities change. And you begin to be criticized by people and say, man, why are you reading your Bible so much? And why do you go to church so much? Why are you always so excited and smiling? And how can you just be excited by going to church? Because this is the place where we feed upon God's Word. This is where God touches my heart. This is where I begin to grow up in the Lord. This is where God will touch me and begin to use my life to reach the world for Jesus Christ and to send me back to my neighborhood and to send me back to my work, to school, to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all these people. That was the heart of Titus. There was a group of false teachers. They were trying to mix Jewish law with the gospel of grace, while some of the Gentile believers were abusing the message of grace and turning it into a license to sin. They said, it's okay no matter what you do. The grace of God will cover it all. There are people like that today. Hasn't changed much. People that take advantage of the grace of God. They think they can live, you know, in moral sin. They can live with their girlfriends and, you know, and have sex with them and go to parties and drink and then show up on Sunday morning and go to church and sing the songs and hear the message, but there's no change, you see. People can lie and cheat, not pay their taxes, and then, you know, do things that are not moral but immoral. And yet if we are to be Christians, if the gospel is really touching our lives, if the gospel really has made a difference in my life and the Holy Spirit is really, truly, really real in my life, then the Holy Spirit will not allow me to live a life of immorality. There will be conviction when God has really touched your lives. Nobody had to tell me that I could not drink anymore. Nobody had to tell me that I couldn't be immoral anymore. As I began to receive Christ and I began to read my Bible, and I begin to go to church, the Holy Spirit, as I begin to listen and I begin to learn, the Holy Spirit began to say to me, you can't do that anymore. And really, I didn't want to do that anymore. Because now I had a new life. I had a new passion. I was watching through new eyes and listening through new ears and a new heart and a new mind. That's the difference in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet these false teachers were saying, oh, you can go to church and live with your girlfriend. You can drink. You can party. You can watch pornography. You can do all these things and you're still going to go to heaven. Don't worry about it. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches holiness. God says there's a holy people. Those that come to be born again of the Holy Spirit are people that have touched not only the world, but they're being touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're totally changed. They're not the same. That's why people in our families and friends always see a difference in our lives. But if people are not seeing that difference in your life, then something is wrong. Maybe God hasn't really touched you. You're just playing church. And that's what Timothy had to face in Crete. Every night, all the nightclubs, all the partying, all the immorality, all the lying, all the cheating. This little island was in the Mediterranean, 156 miles long, 30 miles wide. In its fire century, inhabitants saw notorious unfruitfulness, as I told you, immorality all over the island. You couldn't go anywhere where there was no immorality. It was everywhere. As a matter of fact, in Titus 1:12, he says, one of the prophets of their own said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. That's what their prophet said about the Cretans. They're liars, and they're evil animals, and they're lazy gluttons. They don't like to work. They just like to party. And there are people like that today in the party scene. They go from one party to the next party. In verse 13 he said, this testimony is so true. Therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. Rebuke them so they can return back to the true faith. Because all they're doing is they're playing church. He says, to act, there was a saying, to act the Cretan became an idiom, meaning to play the liar. To play the liar. Literally, to play the hypocrite. Because of the problem of immorality among the Cretans, it was important for Titus to stress the need of righteousness in Christian living. What the Bible taught, what Jesus taught. False teachers, especially those of the circumcision, Judaizers, were also misleading divisive lives, and they were teaching lies to their converts, and they were trying to destroy the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by their lies. Paul wrote this letter in AD 63. Perhaps he wrote it from Corinth, taking advantage of the journey with Asenas and Apollos, whose destination would be taking him away from Crete instead of to Crete. And then Paul was planning to spend the winter in Nicopolis, the western side of Greece, and he urged Titus in his letter to join him. Thereupon, his replacement of Artemius and Tychicus, they would come. In Titus 3:12, he says, when I send Artemius to you and Tychicus, be diligent to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter here. I'm not coming, but I'm sending these other two to help you out in the work of God. Paul always looking for workers, always looking for disciples that could help out in the work of the Lord. Paul may have been planning to leave Neapolis to go to Spain in the spring, and then he wanted his useful companion Titus to accompany Paul. You know, there's no more blessing when I travel. I always like to take different kinds of people with me so they can see young guys, whatever it is. But it's always so good when you travel with good companions. Not only just to have someone with you, but to have integrity. And to have a prayer partner to pray with you. It's always good. When Jesus sent out the missionaries, he sent them out two by twos, so that one can pray for the other and one can share. And for me, it's always been a blessing when I've traveled. The first time that I went out to the mission field many years ago was Greg Lord, myself, and Mike McIntosh. And when I did this, I took two trips around the world. I went the first time with Mike. We went around the world twice. And it was just amazing. When I came back from being around the world twice, I was just amazed at how much was happening in the world and how many people were lost. And God just really got a hold of my heart. And it's never been the same. I've been around 117, 120 countries already in the last 35 years. And for me, like Paul, it's a thing where I really want to exhort you tonight. And those that might be listening through the internet and watching. That just sitting in the church like this, it's cool, learning, growing. But at the same time, how much can you learn without doing something for the Lord? You see, it's good to become active in the ministry, just like Titus, just like Timothy, just like any one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important to train and to get rooted and grounded in God's word and begin to pray, God, how are you going to use my life? Where do you want me to serve? And how do you want me to serve? And where do you want me to go and serve? And God will speak to you. God will speak to your hearts. As God places it in your heart as you sit here in Calvary Chapel, God will begin to raise up young men and young women and old men and old women for the ministry. There's a whole world to be reached, even our own community. People that need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, just like the Christians here in Diamond Bar, in Walnut, Roland Heights, Tavern, Glendora, everywhere, man. People need to be reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can do it through this church. And that's why Paul, he was so gung-ho with Timothy to let him know, Timothy, Titus, I want you to know that my heart is with you guys. And I'm praying for you. And I want you to go and I want you to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said. He told Timothy concerning the deity of the redemptive work of Christ. How beautiful. He states it in Titus. He says, Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's you. That's me. This is Paul the Apostle writing to Titus, and he says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. What do you mean? The Lord is going to come. His second coming. And when the Lord comes, and you stand before the Lord, what is the Lord going to say to you? What is he going to say to me? How did I serve him as I give an account of my life before the Lord? You see, we need to serve him with all of our hearts, with a great passion. Whether it be the children's ministry, whether it be the high school or junior high, ushering, parking cars, whatever it is, doing something that is beneficial for eternity, as God keeps the record. And Paul did that with Titus. And Paul did that with Timothy. and with many others that he names in the book of Romans chapter 16. When Paul gives all these beautiful names of people, men and women that he met, and that he gave the gospel to, and they became great workers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about even here tonight. As a matter of fact, look at how he begins his letter. This is so cool. In chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, he gives us the introduction to the book. And here we find much of what we studied in 1 and 2 Timothy, but it's worth repeating as Paul brings it out here. He says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness. You notice that Paul the apostle, in his introductions to the writer here, in writing to his audience, he always, you know, when they wrote the letters, they would always insert the name first. We insert the name at the bottom of the letter, at the end. They would do it at the first of the letter. But Paul will always introduce himself as Paul the Little One, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. I love that. You know, when you go back and you read the book of Exodus, the word here for a bond servant is doulois. And many of you have never been to the book of Exodus, so maybe you don't know this, but in order to be a servant, when the Jews were talking about servanthood, and let's say that you had money, you had a servant in your house. He was willing, you bought him at the slave market, so you bring him home, and he serves you for 7 years. 7 years. And on the seventh year, your slave could say to you, because you were the owner, you would say, you know what, you've served me now for 7 years, what do you want to do? Do you want to continue to be with me, or do you want to go free? And if the servant would turn around and say, you know what, you've been so good to me. I love you so much that I want to become a doulois in your home. Doulois in your home. You know what he would do? He would be free, but he would take him to the doorpost. And he would take his right ear and he would drill a hole through it and put an earring in it. And that would be the sign of a bond servant walking around. A bond servant of Jesus Christ. I do it because I love the Lord, not because I'm getting paid. That's the ministry. Servants of the Lord. Serving the Lord here at Calvary Chapel as a bond servant of Jesus Christ, not for pay, but because we love God. And because I love God so much, I want to serve Him. As a bondservant of Jesus Christ, I went to the doorpost and I put a hole in my ear and I'm carrying this earring in my ear because I am a volunteer in the kingdom of God. Nobody forced me, just like when you volunteer for the military. Same thing. I'm doing it because I want to do it, not because I was drafted or because they made me go. I do it because I want to defend my country in the same way, this way. I am a bondservant of God. God touched my heart. And Paul says here, God made me an ambassador. And I am a bondservant of God. And also, by the way, I am an apostle, a missionary. A missionary of Jesus Christ. Beautiful titles, man. Bondservant and apostle. One to be sent out. Before you can ever be sent out, you learn to do what? You learn to serve. You learn to serve in your own church, in your own home. And then you can really preach by experience. And you can speak with authority. And you can serve with authority when you've truly been a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And as the Lord calls and anoints you, and the Lord sends you out, then you go not only with the blessing of the Lord, but you have an open heart to serve anywhere and anyone the Lord sends you to. Without being disgruntled, but having truly the heart of Jesus. That's what Paul had in his own heart. He says, I became a bondservant, my position of Jesus Christ. And then I was a missionary once and out of Jesus Christ. Notice, according to faith, according to what I believe, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. That Jesus Christ saved me through his blood. He redeemed my life. I gave my life to him. And he cleansed me and he washed me by his blood. And then he baptized me with his Holy Spirit. And he empowered me. And notice what he says here. By faith of God's elect. God's election. An acknowledgement of the truth with accord with godliness. Pretty neat, huh? This is the ministry. This is what Paul says in his letter as he's writing. Listen, you guys, we not only have been elected by the Lord, out of all eternity, God already knew us by name. He chose us. He loved us. And at the same time as he elected us, he says he acknowledged of the truth. Notice, of the truth, which is in accord with what? With godliness. That is what happens when you study the Bible. You become godly. Your character changes. You don't live like you used to live. God's word is making a change in your life. You see? You're changing. People are watching your conduct. You're different. You're not the same person you used to be before you came to Christ. And now they see that something really has happened in your life. Then you start touching all kinds of people. Because you became a bondservant and want to be sent out. And because of the, what you believe in the study of God's word, now your character in godliness, God is using your life to touch others for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Verse 2, notice, in hope of what? Notice the promise here by God of eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time ever began. Isn't that interesting? Before time ever began. This was the promise that Jesus Christ gave by his resurrection. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not a liar. That's not his nature. That's not his character. God's character, he's holy. And he is true to his nature. He has promised to those that come by faith to him that he will give you eternal life. The promise of eternal life. God created us with the power of choice to choose. We're not robots on a string. That's what's so cool about God's election. That God elected you, but you had to make the choice whether to come or not to come, to receive him or to reject him. That's why when we have altar calls, we always say, if you want to receive Christ, then this is the things you need to do. You can walk out the same way you came in, never forced to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because that's not what God does. He gives you the power of choice. Otherwise, we would not be free, what? Free agents. We'd not be free to choose. But God has given us a freedom. And that's why when people go to hell, it's by their own choice, not God's choice. Why? Because in Matthew 25:41, it says that God did not make hell for men. It was made for the devil and his demons. People make the choice of going to hell by rejecting the promise of eternal life and coming by faith to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 3, but has in due time manifested. Notice that God's own seasons has manifested what? Notice what he says. Has manifested his word through the preaching which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. What do you mean? That God commanded us? As somebody preach the gospel to us, we are commanded to preach the gospel to somebody else. I love that. Commanded to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel committed, Paul says, to me, to preach to the lost, to preach to others. Every opportunity that I can preach the gospel, I will do that. The word preaching here, it's really an interesting word. It comes from the Greek word trumpet, and it means a proclamation. You know, the trumpet blowing, you know, for assemblies of reveille or lunch or dinner. That's what it means. The proclamation of the trumpet of eternal life, the promise of eternal life to those that accept it, repent, and come by faith to Jesus Christ. God will give you eternal life. That's the promise Paul says in his introduction to everyone and anyone that wants to be saved. For God, the commandments of our God and Savior, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit offers us eternal life. It's promise, but we have to make the choice. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much, Father, for this intro. Father, we pray now that as we get into the letter, that you would bless Father Wednesday nights as we walk through this little epistle, Father, so powerful, concerning the problems within church order and church leadership. Lord, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would continue to move in us, to work through us, Father, and that you would have, Father, the upper hand in each one of our lives tonight, Jesus. As you give us a hunger and a thirst and just a little bit of taste on Titus, Lord God, so that we can one more next week, Father. And Lord, I pray for every person watching tonight, Father, live, and those sitting here tonight in the sanctuary, Lord God. I pray for those that have been invited here, Father, by someone, or they came here in their own will, Father. I pray for those, Jesus, that do not know you. Those that have never received your forgiveness, your love, your grace, your mercies, Lord. And I pray right now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, as the trumpet has been sounded, if there's anyone here tonight, young and old, male, female, that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand by faith, walk out into the aisle, walk down the aisle, and come up into the front and stand right here in front, and I'm going to pray with you right here the sinner's prayer so you can receive eternal life. Father, we're so thankful for these that have come. And Lord, we pray for each one of them individually, Father, that you would have your way in their hearts and their lives, Jesus. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me. Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Make it your prayer and receive Christ tonight, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? Go ahead right over there. You guys turn around and go right over there. Cool. That's neat. All right. What a blessing.